Chapter 1. The Worst Nicotine Addict I Have Yet to Meet. Perhaps I should begin by describing my competence for creating this program. No, I am not a doctor or a psychiatrist. My qualifications are far more appropriate. I spent 33 years of my life as a confirmed smoker. In the later years, I smoked 100 a day on a bad day, and never less than 60. During my life, I had made dozens of attempts to stop. I once stopped for 6 months, and I was still climbing up the wall, still standing near smokers trying to get a whiff of the tobacco, still travelling in the smokers' compartments on trains. With most smokers on the health side, it's a question of I'll stop before it happens to me. I had reached the stage where I knew it was killing me. I had a permanent headache with the pressure of the constant coughing. I could feel the continuous throbbing in the vein that runs vertically down the centre of my forehead, and I honestly believed that any moment there would be an explosion in my head and I would die from a brain hemorrhage. It bothered me, but it still didn't stop me. I had reached the stage where I gave up even trying to stop. It was not so much that I enjoyed smoking. Sometime in their lives, most smokers have suffered from the illusion that they enjoy the odd cigarette, but I never suffered from that illusion. I've always detested the taste and smell. But I thought a cigarette helped me to relax. It gave me courage and confidence, and I was always miserable when I tried to stop, never being able to visualize an enjoyable life without a cigarette. Eventually, my wife sent me to a hypnotherapist. I must confess that I was completely skeptical, knowing nothing about hypnosis in those days and having visions of a Svengali-type figure with piercing eyes and a waving pendulum. I had all the normal illusions that smokers have about smoking, except one. I knew that I wasn't a weak-willed person. I was in control of all other aspects of my life, but cigarettes controlled me. I thought that hypnosis involved the forcing of wills, and although I was not obstructive, like most smokers, I dearly wanted to stop, I thought no one was going to kid me that I didn't need to smoke. The whole session appeared to be a waste of time. The hypnotherapist tried to make me lift my arms and do various other things. Nothing appeared to be working properly. I didn't lose consciousness. I didn't go into a trance, or at least I didn't think I did. And yet after that session, not only did I stop smoking, but I actually enjoyed the process even during the withdrawal period. Now, before you go rushing off to see a hypnotherapist, let me make something quite clear. Hypnotherapy is a means of communication. If the wrong message is communicated, you won't stop smoking. I'm loath to criticize the man whom I consulted because I would be dead by now if I hadn't seen him. But it was in spite of him, not because of him. Neither do I wish to appear to be knocking hypnotherapy. On the contrary, I use it as part of my own consultations. It is the power of suggestion and a powerful force that can be used for good or evil. Don't ever consult a hypnotherapist unless he or she has been personally recommended by someone you respect and trust. During those awful years as a smoker, I thought that my life depended on cigarettes and I was prepared to die rather than be without them. Today people ask me whether I ever have the odd pang. The answer is never. Never? Never. Just the reverse. I've had a marvellous life. If I had died through smoking, I couldn't have complained. I've been a very lucky man, but the most marvellous thing that has ever happened to me is being freed from that nightmare, that slavery of having to go through life systematically destroying my own body and paying through the nose for the privilege. Let me make it quite clear from the beginning. I am not a mystical figure. I do not believe in magicians or fairies. I have a scientific brain, and I couldn't understand what appeared to me like magic. I started reading up on hypnosis and on smoking. Nothing I read seemed to explain the miracle that had happened. Why had it been so ridiculously easy to stop, whereas previously it had been weeks of black depression? It took me a long time to work it all out, basically because I was going about it back to front. I was trying to work out why it had been so easy to stop, whereas the real problem is trying to explain why smokers find it difficult to stop. Smokers talk about the terrible withdrawal pangs, but when I looked back and tried to remember those awful pangs, they didn't exist for me. There was no physical pain. It was all in the mind. My full-time profession is now helping other people to kick the habit. I'm very, very successful. I've helped to cure thousands of smokers. Let me emphasize from the start, there is no such thing as a confirmed smoker. I've still not met anybody who was as badly hooked, or rather thought he was as badly hooked, as myself. Anybody can not only stop smoking, but find it easy to stop. It's basically fear that keeps us smoking. The fear that life will never be quite as enjoyable without cigarettes, and the fear of feeling deprived. In fact, nothing could be further from the truth. Not only is life just as enjoyable without them, but it is infinitely more so in many ways, and extra health, energy, and wealth are the least of the advantages. All smokers can find it easy to stop smoking. Even you. All you have to do is listen to the rest of the program with an open mind. The more you can understand, the easier you will find it. Even if you don't understand a word, provided you follow the instructions, you will find it easy. Most important of all, you will not go through life moping for cigarettes or feeling deprived. The only mystery will be why you did it for so long. Let me issue a warning. There are only two reasons for failure with my method. 1. Failure to carry out instructions. Some people find it annoying that I am so dogmatic about certain recommendations. For example, I will tell you not to try cutting down or using substitutes like sweets, chewing gum and so forth, particularly anything containing nicotine. The reason why I am so dogmatic is because I know my subject. I do not deny that there are many people who have succeeded in stopping using such ruses, but they have succeeded in spite of, not because of them. There are people who can make love standing on a hammock, but it's not the easiest way. Everything I tell you has a purpose, to make it easy to stop, and therefore ensure success. 2. Failure to understand. Don't take anything for granted. Question not only what I tell you, but also your own views and what society has taught you about smoking. For example, those of you who think it's just a habit, ask yourselves why other habits, some of them enjoyable ones, are easy to break. Yet a habit that tastes awful, costs us a fortune, and kills us is so difficult to break. Those of you who think you enjoy a cigarette, ask yourselves why other things in life, which are infinitely more enjoyable, you can take or leave. Why do you have to have the cigarette and panic sets in if you don't?